Peter Grandich of Peter Grandich and Company. Several decades of market experience.
Thank you, Chris.
So what I wanted to begin with today, comments from Bix Weir on silver. This is an interesting researcher and commentator in California. He sees in the coming years silver actually going to 1-to-1 with the Dow and gold, that gold will be the means of exchange, not silver, because it's even going to be more rare and in more demand by industry, ranging from, solar panels, electronics, cell phones, keyboards, computers, you name it. Battery technology now needs silver in great demand. I'd like your thoughts.
Well, I fell off the chair when you said it was going to be 1-to-1 to the Dow, because if you think about it, as when you think about where it sells for now, let's just say that they both met in the middle. If the Dow was the correct 50%, we'd be talking about world economic collapse. I mean, so much of people's worth and wealth is directly or indirectly in stock markets. There's no question the U.S. stock market's still the lead market in the world. So I think the first thing, even before trying to imagine silver at hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars, as this gentleman, as you say, is saying, just the thought of what that would happen in the world itself, because that would mean that the stock market certainly sold off a lot. I said it would be hard for me not to believe that anything's possible. And unless somebody puts a certain date, you can always say, well, we're still working towards that. But what I would argue and stand is that silver and gold, relative to financial assets like stocks and bonds, are much, much safer and, I think, prudent investment at this point. I don't sell it. I don't make any money saying that. I don't have anybody benefiting from me saying that. It just comes after 30-something years, and in a sense, understanding, and the richest man doesn't pay the highest price at an auction. Sometimes it's the smartest man. Sometimes it's I have to tell you that I have been telling people in recent days, although I'm completely out of the game of market pronostications, I don't do it for a living. I the only money I manage is my own. But I've never seen both complacency and assumptions of best case scenario as that's given to the U.S. stock market right now in the 32 years I've been in the business. So I definitely think there's an opportunity to see an asset like silver increase dramatically over years. But I can't begin to fathom it being equal to the Dow or the gold price. And if it is, I can only tell you the world that we knew is gone.
You know, I'm with you, and I know many of our listeners probably, like yourself, were startled by that pronouncement. And I really was initially as well, until they started to lay out some of the reasonings behind it. And of course, we're all pretty much familiar here with the fact that silver pulls near the surface, whereas gold tends to pull at the surface as well as in deep fissures, as we see in South Africa, where, workers have to have air conditioning units and things and pass out from extraordinarily hot conditions because they're so deep underground. And of course, the pressure there is enormous. Now, I will say that one of our really brightest and most senior guests, regular here on the show, is Bob Hoy. But he's pointed out that demand is a very difficult metric and tool to use to forecast the precious metals prices. He claims that it's virtually useless. There's just so many factors at play and so many different ways to tally the numbers. David Stockman corroborates Bix Weir's ideas by noting that we're looking at about a 40% correction in the S&P 500 and giving really no grand scheme other than the price to earnings ratio is just so out of whack with the 15 norm. In order to return to the mean, it will require a substantial sell-off, if you will, or bear market. Either way, even if we don't get 1-to-1 on this ratio, it's certainly good news. Any comments there?
I would just say that if I had to risk my life or the ones that I love, if you said in a 12 or 24 month or whatever, think a year or longer out would have increased more, I certainly would choose silver and gold over the equity market. I have to say that, and again, I'm not an alarmist because I'm not involved in anybody's money but my own at this point. I do share my personal thoughts on a blog, and if people care to read it, that's up to them. But the bottom line is, in 30-something years, despite having fortunately got out in 87 and in 2000 and 2007, I've not seen the level of complacency and assumptions that the market can go, while the market is already richly priced in every metric that I was ever taught or knew about. So I would just say that given where silver and gold trades and where it has for the last several years compared to the equity market, there's certainly a lot more upside potential in the metals, in my view, than there is in the equity market at this point.
You know, for folks who think that we can't eclipse the 1900 peak we saw in gold around 2011, 4950 in silver, it's around the same time frame. On the day of our presidential election here, just a couple of months ago, in India, Prime Minister Modi said, look, we need to go digital here. And it just threw the whole country into chaos. And for a brief period of time, gold spiked to north of $3,600 if you compare rupees to dollars. This is a modern economy, albeit it's an up-and-coming economy, but there's they are highly educated and have a great tradition of learning and building up their infrastructure, and maybe they're a bit behind China, but still, I think will be the big emerging story of the next 10, 20 years is going to be India. And to see this type of chaos unleashed in an economy, when might they unleash that on North America?
Recently, within the last week, I wrote and showed two interesting front covers of magazines. One was one of the most recent Barron's, where they talked and they have Dow 30,000 as their front page. And then I put up, and of course a lot of young people weren't even around then, but Business Week's infamous magazine front cover in the early 1980s, where it said equities are dead. And what intrigued me the most about that, telling people how much we have gone in full circle, because that's when I started investing back then. I told people this past weekend at a conference I spoke at that there was an unknown man from Gainesville, Georgia, who in early 1980-81 put out a theory that no one really knew at the time, called Elliott Wave. No one had any real idea of it, and said that the Dow was going to 3,700. Now, the Dow had traded from the 1940s to 1980, never really going much above 1,000, between like 600 and 1,000. And it seemed impossible. Just he was laughed and scoffed at. And, of course, that man would become Robert Prechter, and he would, at least through the 80s, be one of the most listened to and watched market gurus. And if you think about it, that's not that long ago. It's certainly within a lifetime for many. And now we're at 20,000. So for people to say, it was a fluke, how's it going to go from 1,200 to 2,000? Well, listen, when things change and trends reverse, they reverse big time. They don't. It's like a pendulum. I always try to explain to everybody, even that ride that used to be at the amusement park, where you see it swing all the way like a boat from one side to another. It doesn't go just halfway. It has to swing all the way. And I just don't see how we're not all the way at the extreme on one side now. So, you know, the natural belief is, as long as it doesn't happen overnight where everybody's just wiped out, I mean, people just have a 50% loss overnight and there's no opportunity to move anything, the natural tendency will be is if and when the equity market does go through a stiff correction or a severe bear market, money's going to flow into the metals. And mind you, you know, and it's just a little pet peeve of mine, even though I'm not involved, Chris, like your group is, you know, day-to-day in the metals, people forget, despite the shock of the election and a lot of the gains evaporated in gold and silver more than held its own last year towards the equity market. They're basically performing as well, if not better, than the equity market, despite all the news being about the equity market. So I can't imagine that if there's just a little sentimental shift and just 1 or 2% of the money that's in equities decides to move into metals, where those prices are going. And that's my expectation. And quite honestly, that's one of the main reasons why my holdings outside of cash are heavily invested in metals and a couple of mining-related stocks.
It's great you brought up, you know, Robert Prechter Elliott Wave Institute just down the highway here from where I live in Gainesville, Georgia, my old stomping ground. We had him on the show. We actually, it's ironic, we just talked with his people today. And of course, Elliott Wave, very established and a fascinating story, won't bore the listeners. Mr. Elliott, who came up with the idea, suffering from tuberculosis, really couldn't leave his room, all kinds of physiological issues, but came up with this amazing theory, basically a three-wave count, impulse count, where you have three moves up. Each wave is followed by a reactive move, and that's your count. But you also brought up the idea that you can wake up and find out that paper money has somehow evaporated, even after the MF Global debacle, that there can be no legal recourse. I did want your comments. Really looks like Italy will be leaving now the EU. There's a big vote, as I understand it, coming up. Another exit from the European Union, and this is not a peripheral nation. I mean, this is one of the largest bond markets in the world, a manufacturing powerhouse. Can the EU sustain this, and what are the implications for the markets?
Well, Chris, I have written probably since late fall that the big story in 2017, and maybe it gets pushed into early 2018, is the inevitable beginning of the end of the EU as we know it. In most recent days, and clear what you spoke about, it is true about Italy. But I think even the bigger story is what's happening in Germany. Germany is the backbone. Just 3 months ago, no one could imagine that Merkel could lose an election. And today, as we speak, polls have come out showing that she could lose if there was a vote today. And without Germany, who's really been the mainstay to keep the European Union together, because by staying together, it's its strongest. It's benefited the most from the EU. It's only a question of time in my book that the EU breaks up. But what it breaks up into, I have no idea what will transpire, et cetera, et cetera. And whether it's Italy that's the next one or France now, where the right-wing opposition has vaulted up in the polls and want to take a make France first motto. We've heard something like that here in the U.S. last year, and we saw what happened. The end of the EU is in sight, in my opinion. And it's probably the only thing that really has kept the dollar from really correcting a lot, because still so much money is in the euro. And if there's a breakup, you know, what's going to transpire. But I have no doubt about it. And then the other thing before we would run out of time, again, that's because the don't worry, be happy crowd is just running rampant on Wall Street and through the financial media, no one's speaking about it, but what's happening in China in front of our eyes, and even to China have to tighten at this point as they did last week. You just can't, I don't care how great you think America's going to be or how great Trump can make it and all, we are a global world economy now. And if the European Union is breaking up and China's not doing well, the U.S. stock market is very, very vulnerable. And that's why I feel between the high levels of complacency, the fact that the vast, vast majority of financial advisors that are responsible for people's money now have been in the business only since the late 80s and have never, never experienced a real bear market. They've experienced crashes. They've experienced major short-term declines, but they never experienced where they had to go 2, 3, 4, 5 years where the market didn't move up and they can just, you know, sing honky-dory to the bank. And with all that happening, I just think it's the most dangerous time in my 32 years for the equity market. And, I don't have any axe to grind. There's no alternative things that I'm involved in that I want to see people go into, so I take that mode. I'm just being frank, and I'm being frank, real frank with myself and my family's finances. Just see too many people, especially people who could ill afford not or seeing a principal loss for 5 or 10 years or more. The bulk of the people now that are heavily invested in the market are the people that can least afford the principal losses. So I just, to sum up, is I just don't see why there's a reason from this point on to be heavily invested. And I think one of the least expensive and clearly most undervalued assets that the typical asset classes that people buy is gold and silver right now.
David Stockman brings a wealth of information to the fore. And when we think of concrete and an industrial might, many of us hearken back to the Hoover Dam during the Great Depression years with these people so happy to have a job, proud to be building this American icon, enormous amount of concrete and, of course, rebar. And well, Stockman points out that China in recent years, I think he said in just 3 years' time, consumed 19,000 Hoover dams worth of concrete in the production of their economy. If that edifice starts to implode, and we're already seeing cracks in the foundations, pun intended, if that engine starts to seize up, reverberations around the world could be intense.
I just think what I have always coined the don't worry, be happy crowd, which basically makes up the vast majority of the financial service industry, at least in the United States, I don't think they have any idea of geopolitical risk. I don't think they have any idea of understanding that much of the world has depended on places now that are in serious trouble, as we just mentioned, the European Union, China. And there's no way to argue from any metrics that I know that stocks are cheap at this point. So I just think with all of that and the complacency and just utter enthusiasm as if nothing can go wrong, that only the best case scenarios for whatever Trump or whoever you want to believe is leading, doing things is going to only turn out good, is just set us up for a very, very big fall. I don't know the date and the time, but I don't think it's going to be as long as years or more, and I certainly believe in the confines of 2017 it will take place.
All right. Powerful words indeed from Peter Granditch. Please tell us more about the services and what folks will find there.
Sure. It's very simple. Peter Granditch, that's Granditch. So petergranditch.com. It's self-explanatory. Visit the website. Pete Speaks is the blog. You can just leave your email there, and you'll get our updates. My business has been reduced to dealing in retirement, estate planning, and business planning. We do it both for the general public and professional athletes. Thank you, Chris.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.